You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
Incredible. Almost the end of another year. Man, I love Christmas. Oh man, it's a special time. I want to share with you a passage of scripture this morning before we actually come around the word, or before I share. And it's in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1 verse 27. It says this: "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, Mary, thou art highly favoured. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or encouragement this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. For thou hast found favour with God." How many would love a word from God in this new year? Amen? Yeah, of course we do. I mean, something about hearing a word from God, like this is a pretty incredible word that Mary received. But, you know, we all do. You know, we've allowed 2016 to pass us by now. And all that it entails, well, it's almost over. And then we look towards 2017, and you know, there's something very powerful about getting direction from God, getting a word from God, you know. And I'm going to be upfront and honest with you. In my Christian walk, I've always tended to kind of dodge words of God from prophets. I don't know why. I don't know whether I was shy or whatever, but that was just me. I was never one so much to want a word. I wanted God to speak to me. I wanted him, if he wanted something for me to do, I wanted to hear from him. Amen? And I guess we're all like that. Wouldn't it be great if God just, you know, all of a sudden you saw this finger come out of the sky and start writing your prophecy or your word? You know, one thing I've noticed though, church, is this. With God's word, God's word can disrupt some things in our lives. When we hear a word from God, I've found every blessing, because it is a blessing to get a direction or a word from God. But one thing I have noticed, with every word of God that you receive or every blessing, there is always a burden that is attached to it. The word burden just simply means a load or a responsibility. So in that context, every blessing that God gives you, there is an element of responsibility, and there is a responsibility to carry a load that is placed upon us. And I look at this passage of scripture, and I look at, just think about Mary for a moment. Mary is to be, basically, this is saying, Mary is to be blessed with a baby. Not just any baby, but the Savior of all mankind. Now imagine it for a moment. She's just a young girl, a teenager. How excited she would have been. Let's rewind before she gets this encouraging word from God. She would have been so excited. She was betrothed to Joseph. They were to be married. Imagine how exciting that would be. She has kept herself pure. She has kept herself chaste. She is a virgin. All her friends would have been envying her. Wow, this mad wedding of Joseph and Mary, it's coming up. She would have been so excited about planning the wedding. Amen, ladies. Amen. And men too, to probably a lesser degree. But she would have been so excited. She's thinking about what she'll wear. Oh yeah, man, she is going to be decked out. She's all, Joseph is going to just... Oh, I can't wait. So she would have been so excited. What perfume she will wear. How, oh, wow. She is just thinking about that. And then all of a sudden, everybody say, all of a sudden. All of a sudden, God comes and disrupts this party with his word. All of a sudden, God turns up and says, Hail Mary, highly favored are you among women. And you probably think, well, really? Did you really disrupt? But, you know, I thought about that for a moment. And I was thinking, imagine, you know the story? What happens after this? We know that she says, let it be according to your word, God. So we know what her response was. She acknowledged that she was highly favored. But I want you to think about what was happening around her, the actual burden and the responsibility and the load and the responsibility of what was about to happen to her. Her girlfriends, they're going to be talking about you, Mary. All of a sudden, she's not quite married, and then there's a bump there. So there's going to be a lot of talk going on. And we know the Bible says this, that Joseph will try and get rid of you, but I'll deal with him. That's what the angel would have been saying. You're going to have your baby in a barn, Mary. You're going to have your precious baby in a barn. Something so holy, placed in something so filthy. Someone so holy, placed in a filthy place. Imagine that. The Savior of humanity, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Bible says, they couldn't even find a room for her to have her baby. The Bible says they found a barn, a place. Imagine, probably cockroaches and obviously some sheep dung, and because there was animals everywhere. But it was a filthy place. This holy baby was to be born in a filthy place. But isn't that a bit like God? Where he will place something so holy and so precious in a place so filthy. I've seen God do that. Yeah. In fact, if he hadn't have done that, you and I probably wouldn't be saved today. The holy God who came to earth and saw us in our sinful state intervened in mankind. The Bible says that he lowered himself and became a man. He gave himself. You see, the word of God or the direction of God, although it is a blessing, there is a burden that's attached to it. There is a weight. And there is a responsibility that each of us have. Amen? With every blessing from God, there is always an element of burden. Incredible burden that Mary carried through those times. It will pass, Mary. It will pass. People will talk about you, but it will pass. The Bible says that Joseph actually tried to get rid of her. But we know that God dealt with him. The angel came down and explained to him, no, this is right. Joseph, this is fine. The Holy Spirit has come upon her. She is carrying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, your Savior. Hallelujah. See, with every blessing, there is a burden. With every miracle, there's an element of misery that can be associated with it. With every suffering, we've heard a lot about suffering. With every satisfaction, there's an element of suffering for us as believers. Amen? With every promise, there is always a process. Every promise that God makes available to us, there is a process in which we have to walk out. I've actually entitled my message this morning, From the Process to the Promise. From the process to the promise. So I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures to you, just really quickly. And it's found in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. That was just the intro. Sorry about that. I couldn't help but I had to share that. Since it was Christmas. It wasn't actually the joke that you want to wreck, but you know. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Joshua chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. It's just a continuation. And it says, "But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her.' And the young men who had spies, who had been spies, went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel." Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we acknowledge and we thank you for your guidance. And in particular, during this time, we are so excited about all that you continue to do in our lives personally. But Lord, we are just as excited about what you're doing in Church One at this moment. And as we look toward next year and the incredible vision and plans and goals that you have for us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for every promise in your word says yes and amen. And we acknowledge that this morning. And we thank you for your incredible blessings that are given to us. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for your word, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would move in this place, that you would set us free, those that need setting free, that you'd bring revelation, understanding, wisdom when needed. And we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, I entitled this message, From the Process to the Promise. I know I said a little bit, covered a little bit of this last Sunday night, but I just felt to share this with you again this morning. And the question I have for you was, why, as I mentioned on Sunday night, why would Joseph send out spies, two spies, when he had already been there? If you remember, Moses, when he sent out the 12 spies, Joshua was one of the 12, Caleb was one of the 12, but he sent 12 spies out, Moses. Why would Joshua send out spies, two spies, to a place that he'd already seen? And I believe the answer is this, that he wanted, Joseph wanted them to see, Joshua wanted them to see and experience what God had promised. He wanted them to see what he saw. He wanted them to experience the promised land as it was revealed to him through God. His time he had spent with God. And God had said to them all that this was a land, the promised land was a land flowing with milk and honey. And we know the account of the story. There was big bunches of grapes that were carried between two men that they brought back. So he had seen all this. He'd experienced all this, and he wanted them to see it. He wanted the two that he'd sent out to see it. Number one is this, I believe is this. The reason why he did it is you can't lead people, or it's very difficult to lead people into anything they don't have a vision for. Number one, you can't lead people into anything they don't have a vision for. And number two is this, he wanted them to be excited about their destiny so that they'll be able to, hear this morning, they will be able to endure the process on the way to the promise. Because there is a process. If you can't see the promise and you're just going through the motions, the process, then the process will discourage you. It will discourage you. So seeing the promise, experiencing the promise, knowing that God is faithful and that he's for us, he's not against us. Knowing that when you step out, that was what I believed Joshua was doing when he sent the spies out. It's just like marriage, isn't it? For a happy, flourishing, fruitful marriage, ask my wife. To have one, it's going to take some process. Everyone say process. Those are for all the ones that are intending to be married. Those ones that are married. It's going to take work. Everyone say work. It's going to take some investment if you want a great marriage. It's going to take some love. Everyone say love. It's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take some forgiveness. You see, that's the process to the promise of having a fantastic and fruitful marriage. It just doesn't happen, amen? And all the married ones said, it just doesn't happen. But we know that that's God's promise for us. He wants us to be blessed in marriage, in work, in relationships, all areas of our lives. He wants us to be blessed. But there is always a process in which we walk it. And this is what he was taking the Israelites through, was this process to the promise. This land I have given to you, he said to Joshua. Actually, all of them, this is yours. I give it to you. This is your destiny. This is your future. This is where I've called you to. But there is some stuff you've got to walk through. So I want you to see it. I want you to see it. And I'm talking to you today, church, as we launch into 2017 as Church One. I want you to see the promises of God. I want you not just to see them, but get involved. Be part of the experience. I saw this guy preaching just, it must have been yesterday at home, and I thought, wow, I'd love to share that message. Because he was talking about serving, servanthood, and ministry. And he said the Greek word for ministry, guess what it is? Serve. And then he was coming from the context that, not everyone is called to full-time ministry, which that's true. But everyone is called to minister full-time. Every single one of us. We are called to serve. One thing I've noticed in church life, just the experiences of pastoring a church, I have never one moment from the front ever said to our church where we were pastoring, church family, we have so many helpers. We don't need you. Just relax, sit back, and just enjoy the journey. I've never heard pastors say that. It just doesn't happen. We need you. We need every single one. Whether it's, every position is important in God. Every part, every aspect, from greeting outside, when people come in, when people are in wheelchairs or whatever it is, we're there, right through the whole experience. People walk and they go, whoa, what is going on here? And that's the presence of God. They come in, they're greeted by the ushers. They come in, there's youth, there's all sorts of things are happening. But we need everybody. Turn to the person beside you and say, I think I was talking to you today. Four things I want to share with you just quickly that I saw and that Joshua was taking the children of Israel through. Four lessons, four life lessons on the journey from the process to them inheriting the promise. Four things just quickly. Number one is this. Every promise in God comes via a process. Whether it's healing, if you're believing for healing, there is a process, and it begins with faith, getting into the Word, building faith, seeing the answer, knowing, checking, is God faithful? Check it out. Yes, He's faithful. Amen. He's faithful. So we check it out. There's a process. If you want wholeness, there's a process. If you want the promise of a great marriage, which we've covered, if you want great children, there's a process. We won't go, oh, I suppose we could. The children are out at the moment. We could go through the process. No, just kidding. 4 points I want to cover this morning. 4 life lessons that I believe Joshua, or we can learn from this passage, or these passages that we've seen this morning. Number one is this, the positioning. Positioning. Everyone say positioning. When you look through this passage in Joshua, we see Rahab's house, where was it? It was positioned on the wall. It was positioned on the wall at a crucial, crucial positioning. Everything, I tell you, there's nothing like being in the right place at the right time in God. But nothing happens by happenstance. It's up to us. We've got to position ourselves. And it was just interesting that her home was positioned on the wall. It wasn't a safe house within the confines of Jericho. It wasn't anything like that. The Bible says that it was positioned on the wall. Kim and I, when we've been here now just almost 2 years, next February, would it be, or March or something? Thank you, Rob and Michelle. I met them at Bunnings, and we were just got here, and we were looking for a church. They asked, had we been looking? Yes, we've been to a couple of churches. They said, you've got to come to Church One. Yeah. Said, oh, yeah, okay. So we rocked up, and they were right. Good stuff. It is the place to be. Rahab's house was positioned on the wall. Kim and I, we came from Beit Ezer. Kim was practically born there. She was from Kingaroy. They moved from Kingaroy to Beit Ezer when she was only 1 or 2, very young. So they were born there. And I was kind of born there. I was obviously born in New Zealand, but I came over very young and I moved to Beit Ezer. But I was born again in Beit Ezer. So we were there, and I got saved, and then I met Kim, and we got married. We were part of the youth, leading youth and music and all the stuff that goes on, you know. And we loved every moment of it. And it came a time where we were just serving, and we were asked to pastor the church, which I was excited about. Kim was kind of excited, a little bit more reluctant. Her parents were the senior pastors prior to us. So she saw all the joys, you know, the bells and whistles that go with it. Oh, it's great. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so we were there for 14 years as senior pastors. And then just things changed. Our kids grew up, as they do. You keep feeding them. That's what happens. They keep growing up. So we decide, we get with our leadership, we tell them, there's tears. I think I was crying too. Anyway, we told them we feel that that's it for us. This is our time here. And we feel that we want to move to the coast. And we moved to the coast. Anyway, cut a long story short, we moved to the coast. But in hindsight, now, I see that God was positioning us for this next phase in our walk with Him. He was positioning us. Everything in God comes down to positioning. Everything. The woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says that she was sick for 12 years solid. She had been sick and she couldn't move. She was that ill. And yet, the Bible says that something went off inside her. And I believe these were the words that must have got her going, was this, that if I stay where I am, possibly nothing will change. So I am going to pick myself up and I am going to position myself where the Savior will come. And I'm believing that if I could just reach out and touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. My point is, it is up to us to position ourselves. And Joshua, he knew about, you know, it's interesting that she was positioned on the wall, Rahab. And we know the story. She actually cares for these two spies. She cares for them. You see, nothing just happens. God is positioning us as a church. No doubt about it. There are some things that are going on, but I know in my spirit that God is positioning us for this next season. I tell you, let's be on board, church. Let's get serving wherever you can serve, whatever it is. Rahab was positioned on the wall to be a protector, a shield, a covering for these great men of God. I sense that even in this building, that there are people that God has assigned as protectors. As people come in to care for, to love, to nurture, to stand with, to guide. Positioning. The second thing I believe Joshua was teaching, or God was teaching Israel, was this: exposure. Exposure. Number one, positioning. Number two, exposure. Why did Joshua send the two spies? He wanted to expose them to what he saw. He wanted to expose the next generation. Because the story goes that with the 12 spies, they were great men of God, credible men of God. We know the story. Joshua and Caleb had a different report. So God takes them into the wilderness, 40 years. It's in the Word of God. It says that he wanted to only take in 20-year-old and up. In other words, the next generation. So Joshua had leaders there that were the next generation, and I believe he wanted to expose them to what he saw. You can't expect, I believe this, you can't expect people to be excited about what you're excited about, what we're excited about, if we haven't exposed them to what we see. They've got to see what we see. And your question might be, well, just exactly what do we see? Just exactly what are our young people seeing? And I'm glad you asked, because as a parent, I realize that they look to me, to how I carry myself. And the exposure that we're talking about here, obviously he was talking about exposing them to what God had, you know, all that stuff. But I believe this, that it's our responsibility as parents, as leaders, to expose our kids to what it really means to be men and women of God. We want to expose them. We don't want to threaten them. We want them to see, wow, this is what God is all about. Amen? Exposure. Pastor Ted, an awesome teacher. I tell you, I've sat under a lot of preachers. Oh, I tell you, he is right up there. Exposing us to the wealth and depth of God's Word and all the promises that have been made available to us. Incredible. Exposure. God wanted to expose them to what he saw. The Bible says this. I'm running out of time. Anyway. The scripture says this. Elijah and Elisha. Remember? Elisha says to Elijah, Elijah, give me a double portion of your spirit. Remember that passage? Give me a double portion of your spirit. And this is Elijah's response. He says, Elisha, if you see me when I'm taken up, then you can have a double portion of my spirit. Another translation puts it this way. Elisha, if you will see what I see, then you can have a double portion of my spirit. In other words, he was saying, Elisha, you can't have what I have until such time as you see what I see. It's about exposure. It's about them seeing. Number two, exposure. The third one is this. As I'm closing, it's one of those really long closes. The third one is this, is courage. Everyone say courage. Talk about courage under fire. Rahab had great courage. She protected the spies from the king of Jericho. What does that mean? bottom line is, she put her life on the line for the promise of God. She had great courage. And church, I don't need to open or expound on this anymore than to say this, that we are living in a world where we need to have a lot of courage. We need to have the courage and the intestinal fortitude to stand on the promises of God in its entirety. Not in watered down form, but everything that the Word of God says, it's going to take some courage. It's going to take some backbone. It's going to take some, yes, I am going to stand, having done all, standing therefore, I'm going to stand in this Word of God. Amen? So there's incredible courage that I believe Rahab showed. She came against the authorities of the day, the king of Jericho. What great courage. It takes great courage to live out what God reveals to us through His Word. Amen? And I sense there's great courage in this house. I sense that God is doing a work in us. He is building great men and women of authority and power and courage. Amen. You see, courage isn't the absence of fear, but it is the mastery of it. Basically, what that is saying is that don't live in this bubble world where you think there's going to be no fear. It's going to be there. But the key is how we deal with it. We've got to master it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. We have the ability to stand. It's mastering the fear, amen? And the key to mastering fear is real. It's really simple. Four-letter word, love. We're not going to get into that anymore. Than that. So that's the third thing. The fourth one, as I close, the fourth one is this, and I think it's a key. Number four, it is this. Rahab had incredible knowledge. Everyone say knowledge. She had incredible knowledge of international affairs. She knew exactly what the spies were there for. She had heard about them. The spies had come in and they were talking about, this is what my version, or that's what I think would have happened. They would have come, we know she welcomed them in, but they would have been talking about stuff in Israel, and she would have said, I know something about that. Yes, we've heard about you. We've heard about what you've done, where you've traveled, and how there is fear and there is trembling, trepidation because of you. So she had incredible knowledge. And you know, I believe this with all of my heart. God wants for us to extend our boundaries with the area of knowledge. We've got to start to learn some things. We've got to open our, what we've got to do is we've got to make ourselves available. Get some knowledge. I know the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but it also says that that's a different sort of knowledge which we don't have time to talk about today. But I'm talking about the knowledge with the beginning of wisdom is knowledge. It's about understanding what God says, but also opening ourselves up to this world. Knowledge. She had incredible knowledge. And I believe this, that the knowledge she had, the knowledge she had gained, positioned her and her family and her generation to be blessed. The Bible says that Israel protected her and her father, her mother, their family and all of their possessions, they were saved that day. Church, we are living in the most exciting days of our lives in Church One. Let's get on board, amen. And I just sense in this place today, as we hand back to Pastor Ted, let's get on board, amen. Remember ministry, service, is exactly the same word. We need you. We need everybody. Father, we thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you and we thank you for your presence in this place today. I pray, God, that your word will touch us deep. We thank you for the incredible victories that we celebrate through 2016 and before that even. We are so grateful to you. But Lord, we are also excited about our future, about our destiny, about Church One and all that you've placed in this place. We want to make a difference on the Gold Coast. We want to see young people's lives transformed, changed. We want to see families restored. We want to see relationships rebuilt. We want to see people that just are so hungry for you. They're not even intimidated by this world and all its trappings. But Lord, it's all about you, and we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.